Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves and Brewers are underway. Oren, if I give you one guess, are the Braves winning or losing this game right now?
Losing.
You would be correct, sir. On their way to 18 games under 500. To talk about that and a whole lot more, all things MLB, let's welcome in our buddy Rowan Kavner of Fox Sports MLB. Rowan, let's start here in Atlanta. Unfortunately, the season is nothing short of a complete dumpster fire at this point. Are you surprised at the deadline they were not more active one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't sell more. And I think, you know, obviously, the first half went about as bad as it possibly could have gone, but it went bad enough that it was hard at that point to envision, you know, anything really happening in the second half to go on. I know they've been on magical runs before, but it was hard to see that with this group, with the pitching injuries that happened. And so you think, all right, there's not going to be a lot of seasons, you would hope, that look like this. This is a chance to bolster a farm system maybe that could use some more help for sure. You start going through the pieces now and you look at who the rentals are and the way that Ozuna's been, you know, struggling and banged up and the season Iglesias has had, you know, sure. Like there's probably not a whole lot out there that you're going to get for that, but to not do really anything to help your future. I was surprised by that.
Speaking of the future, is there any scenario in which you foresee the Braves bringing back their longtime Braves lifer, honestly, Brian Snicker?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting topic and conversation, and obviously he could make that decision easy for everyone if he decides, you know, to retire, which is, I think, a possibility, a likelihood, you know, whatever you want to call it there. And that's an easy way for everyone to kind of just start fresh. You know, if he decides I don't want to stop, that obviously creates a uncomfortable situation for a guy that's, you know, had these big successes with this team. I wouldn't count on it happening that he's back next year, like if it were just me guessing here. But you know, if he decides he wants to continue, that's going to be an uncomfortable spot. Cause, and again, as bad as this year's been, you know, the way last year ended wasn't great. They haven't gone back to the CS since they won the World Series in 21. This is an extended stretch. And you know, obviously winning a World Series can buy you time. But when you're talking about 3-4 years of not getting to where you hope to go again, I think it's no surprise that you're wondering what might be next. And man, if this is not rock bottom, that's a problem.
Two players to keep an eye on for their future long-term here. Michael Harris obviously has been turning it around as of late. We hope that this is the guy he's going to be. Do you think he still has superstar potential? And then Ozzie Albies has kind of fallen off a cliff out of nowhere, Rowan. Do you think they should exercise his $7 million option in the offseason?
Yeah, I am still a Michael Harris believer. And I don't know about superstar potential because, you know, I don't know where the ceiling is offensively, but I do know that what he gives you defensively provides a nice baseline. And again, you said it, you're starting to kind of see the turnaround that you wish you could have seen, you know, 2 months ago and when, you know, the season was at least still the possibility of maybe turning things around, but it's nice to see it happening at some point. I still believe in Michael Harris. The Albies thing is tough. And man, we've talked for years about, wow, this is one of the most incredible contracts. And now you're in a situation where, is it worth even picking it up? It's kind of crazy to think we're at this point, but when you're, you know, not really giving much defensively and you're downturn offensively, the way that we've seen so far. Yeah. I think you got to think about moving on to that position. If I'm looking at this team in 2026, you know, where do they need to upgrade? The middle infield has to be addressed. I mean, they need to figure something out there. I don't think you can get what you're getting out of all of these at second and then have the shortstop position be the worst offensively in baseball, which is what it is right now. You could think about picking that up and hoping he can tap back into what we've seen from him before. If you are able to upgrade at shortstop, if you're not, then I think you got to look at all your options there at second base, but definitely believe more in the future of Michael Harris than what we're seeing right now from Albies.
we know there's a good chance, as we're talking with our buddy Rowan Kavner of Fox Sports MLB, that at least two of the projected starters for next year, and A.J. Smith-Shawver and Grant Holmes, will not be back for the following season. Holmes is going to try to rehab, but if that doesn't work, he'll also need some version of Tommy John surgery, whether it's traditional or the UC brace that a lot of these guys are getting now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's enough out there in the market in the offseason coming that the Braves could fill out sort of their – I would say they probably need 3 through 5 or 4 through 5. Is there enough quality depth out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking about, you know, possibly, you know, a 4th, 5th option, I think you can definitely, you know, find that. I'm kind of curious to see how some of these guys end up when you're thinking about, you know, obviously like guys like Zach Gallen ended up staying. I think Framber's going to be a huge someone that a lot of people are going to really, really want. So when you're not having, though, to get necessarily a 1 or 2, you need depth. You just need pieces that is out there. You can go find a 3rd or a 4th or a 5th, you know, starter. A lot of this is going to depend though on, you know, what version of Strider do you have? What version of Schwellenbach do you have? What happens with Chris Sale at 37? So as much of a question as there is with, you know, Grant Holmes and, you know, as you mentioned, I think you need to upgrade somewhere at starting pitcher just to build some more depth. I would expect to see some depth options added there. But I do think, you know, if Strider can kind of find his way, that still provides some optimism. We know, you know, if Schwellenbach's healthy, what he can do as well. So that's a nice starting spot. But yeah, that group definitely, I think, needs to add some depth.
When it comes to the state of the bullpen, Rowan, it might be even worse than the rotation. To me, there's maybe 1 or 2 guys they would look to bring back. Do you think it's possible? I mean, I'm sure we see 1 or 2 examples of it every year, but is it possible to rebuild an entire back end of the bullpen in one off season?
I mean, we've seen 2 New York teams rebuild the bullpen in a deadline. So, I think that position is so volatile from year to year. I think that's doable. Yeah, I would feel a whole lot better about being able to do that, you know, than having to, you know, go have to find another ace or something like that. I think it is, you know, doable. Do I think they're going to go splurge to go fix that? No. But you look at a team, like I think about, like, you know, the Rangers, who their bullpen was just terrible, and you make enough moves kind of at the margins that you get a good season from 1 or 2 of these guys and you can kind of be able to fix that. So I do think, you know, that is a spot, that is a group, a unit that is easier to fix than some. If you can add, you know, 2 or 3 arms that you trust, I think that's possible. But that, yeah, when I look at what this team needs to do in 2026 to get back on track, they need to fix the back end of the bullpen. They need to look at the middle infield. And I think those things are doable, and I think bullpen's a little bit easier to look at than you know, trying to find a shortstop, because I think everyone would like an elite one of those.
You mentioned teams that were successful during the trade deadline. Who were your biggest winners and maybe a couple of losers, teams that needed to add a punch but didn't?
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at the Mariners. Clearly, they needed more pop at first base and third base, and they get arguably the two of the best options for both of those positions with Suarez and Naylor, and I think you could look at that team and at least make an argument that that's the most stacked roster in the American League. So that's a big winner for me. I don't know that there was a team that needed a position more than the Phillies needed a closer, and they go out and get arguably the best one available in Duran, and he's really just kind of lifted the spirits of that group really quickly. I think that was a huge add. And then I would have said, you know, I look at the Mets and Yankees and think, wow, those two teams are what they did with the bullpen. That's, you know, incredible work. And then obviously it has not gone the way the Yankees would have hoped with that group so far. But yeah, again, you know, relief units are volatile. I expect over the long haul, getting those guys will be, you know, a big help. And now I'm just curious to see what happens with the Padres, who had a lot of areas to upgrade, and they decided we're just going to upgrade all of them. I mean, AJ Preller at the deadline, it's like a bull in a china shop. And I'm just glad that he's a character in this universe as someone who just covers the sport, because it makes July 31st a whole lot more exciting. You never know, you know, how much of the farm he's going to leverage. And he said, dude, we have a chance. Let's go for it. and you think, wow, you're giving up the whole future to go do this. But somehow we say that every year. They're all in. They're putting all their chips in. And then the next year happens, they give up the farm, and they're able to do it again. So that was exciting. Obviously, they're better now. They have to leverage a lot of their future to do that. Those are the teams that kind of stand out to me. We mentioned the Braves as a team that I thought needed to do some more, but you know, they didn't have a ton of pieces to be able to go do that. I think the Cubs not getting and look, if you were a team that needed relief pitching, you were in a lot of luck at this deadline. If you were a team that needed a starting pitcher, a guy you could really trust in October, that was a lot harder. And so I look at a team like the Cubs. They have 1 year with Kyle Tucker. They're right there at the, you know, near the top of the Central, one of the best teams in the National League. I think the most dynamic offense. And I thought they could have used another ace. They weren't able to get that. I would have said the Red Sox as well, a team that I thought could have paired someone with Crochet if they were able to give up enough. They weren't able to do a whole lot at the deadline. And then another NL Central team, the Brewers, who doesn't seem to matter because they just keep winning with whoever's out there. But I thought they could have tried to add some pop. I thought Suarez would have been a really good candidate. They have more pitchers than they know what to do with. That would have been a good match, I thought, for Arizona. They weren't able to do that. We'll see if that matters. Clearly, for regular season purposes, it doesn't. But this is a team that hasn't done a whole lot in the postseason. I thought they could have used another power bat, and they weren't able to get that.
When it comes to what's going on in Cleveland with this gambling situation, what do you make of all that?
It's not great. It's troubling. I'm not sure that it's like necessarily hugely shocking that we're seeing players get involved with this. But when you're talking about, you know, some players on the fringes, it's one thing. When you're talking about one of the best closers in the game, it's not great. And when you see these kind of, what do they call, micro bets or prop bets or whatever, where you're talking about, you know, betting on one pitch or something like that, where these guys could do that and it doesn't even affect the outcome of the game, I think that becomes more tempting, more tantalizing. And obviously we don't know all the specifics yet, but it's clearly not good. You know, that was obviously a player that at the deadline would have been really interesting for a lot of teams, but just take that out of it. Who knows when he's going to be able to pitch again, and who knows, you know, where this ends. I it seems like with at least Cleveland that those are the only two guys, you know, impacted, but they got to find a way to curb this in player, you know, with player betting. But I don't know how you necessarily do that when sports betting is such a huge part of the game right now.
So as we look towards the playoffs here, you mentioned the Yankees, they get Aaron Judge back. Do you feel like they have enough firepower? You mentioned the additions that they made, unfortunately, when thrust into action, not exactly lighting it up so far. But they were a World Series team last year. Yeah. Do you think they can get back?
I think the American League is just so wide open that if Judge can, I mean, it's still so much of this is just Judge's health. And he's back tonight. Like, if Judge is in peak form and able to come back from the arm injury and look like himself, they're going to have a chance. And the American League is so wide open. I mean, you're looking at the Tigers, who didn't do a ton of the deadline and had kind of been trending the wrong way. I mean, actually, they did a ton of the deadline. They didn't do a lot of impact moves at the deadline, though. You know, the Blue Jays have been a huge story. But, you know, I think that top of the AL East is still kind of open for anyone. The Red Sox have been super hot, but also didn't really do a whole lot at the deadline to help themselves. And then you have the Astros, who are just completely banged up, and the Mariners, who I think, again, I would say are probably the most talented roster in the American League, but, you know, are they able to kind of put it together, and are those offensive pieces going to take a step back at T-Mobile Park? We don't really know yet. We got to see. So I think just because there's no clear cut, this is for sure the team to beat is definitely better than the Yankees. I think they still have a shot. You still have Fried and Rodon at the top of that rotation. The offense is still really, really powerful. It's been the best in baseball year. They are 25-31 since the start of June. That's not great. They're playing really sloppy, but if they can fix some of that, they still have the talent to, I think, get where they want to go.
All right, before I let you go, in the NL, if I gave you the Brewers and let's say the Dodgers or the field, what would you take right now?
To win the World Series?
To make the World Series.
Oh, to make the World Series. That's a good question. I mean, I think because the Dodgers still have to be the favorites, I would probably still go that direction. You know, the Brewers are so interesting because I think it's incredible what they've done, but again, they haven't really shown in the postseason that that can translate yet. I don't necessarily trust that's going to be, you know, a team that's going to go make a huge deep October run. They are the best team in baseball right now. I think I'd be, you know, more afraid of the Cubs, Phillies, and Mets. I think the Cubs have the most dangerous offense in the National League right now, and you know, the Phillies and the Mets are capable of going on a run here, and that Phillies rotation is as scary as it gets, you know, in the National League. So that's a great question. I think I would lean the Dodgers way, but man, that team hasn't looked the way that you want it to. I think that at least if you're a Dodgers fan, I think, you know, they're kind of banking on all these guys coming back in the second half, either healthier or better. But you have a lot of down years offensively. You got, you know, Mookie Betts is still trying to figure it out. Teoscar Hernandez has been banged up. They get Blake Snell back. I still think that's the team to beat right now. But it's wide open. I mentioned it's wide open in the American League. It's wide open in the National League too. Like, there's no clear cut, really, really, really great team that sort of stands above everyone else. And so I think it'll make for a really fun fight to the finish here.
Rowan, appreciate the time as always. We'll chat soon and we'll check you out at Fox Sports.
All right, guys.
All right. That is Rowan Kavner there. When we get back, what did Bijan Robinson have to say after practice? And also AJ Terrell sat down exclusively right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A big Falcons 8 o'clock hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock.